think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
From now, each of you will vote in the most important election of your lifetimes. This will be the most important election. With your country, your freedom, and your future on the line, we are in trouble. This country is in trouble. The election will decide whether your generation inherits a fascist country or a free country, whether you will have a rule of tyrants or the rule of law, whether Marxist radicals burn our civilization to the ground, which they're looking to do, or young patriots like you propel America to glorious new heights greater than ever before.
And God help us if they do. That was former President Trump speaking over the weekend to a Turning Point gathering, of course, mostly college students and just out of college. And some will be voting for the first time coming up in 2024. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, July 17. We are reminding you that every day at noon, Monday through Friday, we do live streaming on numerous platforms. Rumble, Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Twitter, News Talk STL Facebook, News Talk STL Twitter. I mean, you can't avoid finding us. And if you miss it live, you can always pull it up later on LarryConnorsUSA.com. or in the Rumblecast, or News Talk STL. And, of course, we always appreciate you listening to our 6 o'clock daily report. So here we go. There was Trump yesterday, or rather over the weekend, talking about how important this election is going to be. I know that we've said this numerous times before. This is going to be the most important election. We pointed that out. I remember specifically driving it home when it was Trump against Hillary. I said, you have to keep in mind, whether or not you like the man, you got to look at what will happen if Hillary Clinton gets into the Oval Office. And my biggest concern was the Supreme Court and all the federal judgeships below that. Because the president nominates, of course, the Senate has to confirm. Obama was doing his best to get Ruth Bader Ginsburg to leave while he was still president, so then he could get an appointment in. He was doing his best. She just didn't want to go. And, of course, then an opening came up, and the decision was made, we're going to wait. We're not going to have it happen right now. I said then, and I do agree, that I don't think we should have made the decision then. We should let the next president make it, even if it were going to be Hillary. Fast forward to the next election, Trump and Biden. And again, talking about how important this is. And again, a lot of people even more hated Trump. And they were looking to get him out of office any way they could. They were making up lies on a continuous basis. Now, were some on the far right lying? Yes, they were. Let's be honest about it. Let's call out a liar wherever they exist. But again, it was a crucial election. So crucial, that the Biden White House, working with the FBI, the DOJ, I say the Biden White House, he wasn't in there yet, but he and his Democrat colleagues were working so hard to make sure that Trump would not get elected, and if he were elected, that they would get him out again, trying again the Russian collusion thing, as they had tried previously when he ran against Hillary. The main thing they held back from the public at that point was the laptop, the Hunter Biden laptop, which the FBI had in its hands for a year. They'd already analyzed it. They knew it was actual. They knew it was factual. And they knew that Miranda Devine of the New York Post was getting ready to report on it. So they sent word out to big tech. Be aware, another Russian collusion possibility here, when there never was a first one. And of course, according to the count, if you accept the numbers, I know many don't, but if you go by the numbers, Biden won the election. I don't even like saying that because I still say that it was tampered with, the election was tampered with by the FBI before a single vote was cast. That information was withheld about the laptop. I'm going to have, in our second hour today, I want to share a piece with you from Margo Cleveland of The Federalist, talking about how all the dirty tricks of the Biden White House have been doing have been to censor speech, which would be, of course, your Democrat right to speak out. And they do it to control events, which they did during COVID, which they did going into that election, and every time since. And to the extent now where the president has said he's going to ignore a U.S. Supreme Court ruling regarding payments to college students or forgiving those payments or anything else he wants to. Now, there was a time. There was a time when as a nation would stand up and say, you cannot ignore the U.S. Supreme Court ruling. You can appeal it. You can fight, bring another case, but you don't ignore the ruling. Some of you will recall when the Supreme Court ruling said, yes, the schools must be integrated. Governor Wallace of Alabama, standing in the doorway with his state troopers around him and stopping a busload of black children from arriving at that school. One young black girl walking up, being jeered by white mobs. And the governor standing there and sending the little girl back to the bus. An appalling sight for our country. And Democrats of the North were also upset that Governor Wallace did that. Right now, we have the battle again between Trump and Biden. And as you heard Trump say, this is the most important election. It was when he ran against Hillary. It was when he ran against Biden the first time. And it is again.
This is the most dishonest president in history. And I wouldn't have said it. You know, I have pride in the presidency and respect for the presidency. I wouldn't have said it. But I say things about him over the last 3 weeks that I would have never said before about any president. He is a corrupt, horrible, incompetent man, and he's destroying our country, and we have to have it changed.
We have to have it changed. You know how we're being destroyed. This cocaine found the other day at the White House, and in the process we find out, oh, there'd also been recently some marijuana found in the White House. How does that stuff get inside the White House, the most secure building in the nation, in the world? Well, because somebody on the inside is either bringing it or letting it go by. Now, I know the first person to point to is Hunter Biden. It's his laptop that shows him smoking crack cocaine, doing marijuana, whatever. It's his life. I could care, except that now he's in the White House. It's the same thing with Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. I didn't care what happened between Bill Clinton and Monica. That was really between Bill and Hillary at Monica, except that it was done inside the White House, at the edge of the Oval Office. And then he lied about it. I did not have sex with that woman. And Hillary stood dutifully behind him, and all the rest of his staff and cabinet members, they all supported him. And I said right then, the man is lying. And finally, he's proven to be a liar and impeached, but then he's now loved by the Democrat Party again. And remember how they trashed Trump, and rightly so, for making remarks that got caught on that video, on the TMZ video. I could grab women by the, you know, and they'd love it. Oh, what a nasty, nasty man. I'm not going to excuse that remark and that behavior. But what is different from that than the cigar episode that Bill Clinton had with Monica Lewinsky. None. And in fact, Clinton's event with Monica Lewinsky was an actual event, and again, it took place inside your Capitol. And then we have this cocaine found the other day, and I'm telling you, and I'll remind you again, if they had known it was cocaine in the beginning, the Secret Service never would have called the fire department. Because when they called the fire department thinking it might be bioweapons of some type, they need to make sure they handle it properly. And then there's a radio dispatch call that's recorded. Can't be erased, can't be wiped out. Hey, we've identified it's cocaine. I knew right then somebody in the Secret Service said, we never should have called. We should have looked at it ourselves. Now, everybody knows it's cocaine. We can't hide it. But you know what? We cannot seem to find who put it there or how it got there or how it got in that box or how they found it. And the thing kept moving around. It was a traveling circus of cocaine. And to this day, we still don't know, do we? Jim Jordan was speaking about that and everything else this Biden White House continues to hide.
If it's not Hunter Biden's laptop, why doesn't he say so? I mean, that'd be the first thing I would do. I'd say, that's not my laptop. Why didn't the Biden family just say it's not my laptop? They've never said that because it is his laptop. And anyone with common sense and any bit of reason and logic can see that. So they've never. That'd be the first thing I would do, frankly. So, you know, everything we hear from these guys just turns out to be something you can't really believe. I mean, for example, why won't the White House tell us that it wasn't the Biden that had the cocaine? Cain at the White. I mean, on and on it goes with these folks.
Congressman Jim Jordan, Ohio, Republican, obviously exasperated. It just goes on and on and on. So again, back to former President Trump and speaking to the Turning Point rally. This is why we must win.
2024 is our final battle. With you at my side, we will demolish the deep state. We will expel the warmongers. From our government, we will drive out the globalists. We will cast out the communists, Marxists, fascists. We will throw off the sick political class that hates our country. And we will rout the fake news media. We will defeat crooked Joe Biden. And we will drain the swamp once and for all. We made a lot of progress, but it's pretty deep.
That was former President Trump addressing a crowd, obviously, of great supporters for him. Now, there was also another event underway that included Tucker Carlson over the weekend with various candidates appearing in front of him as part of a Blaze presentation. Now, among the candidates, of course, Vivek Ramaswamy, Nikki Haley, Asa Hutchinson, no Trump, but Mike Pence was there. And Pence and Tucker Carlson were on stage at this Blaze Media Summit, and Tucker began to push back on Pence.
Joe Biden cut off military spending when he came in, and even after that heartless, unprovoked invasion, which Joe Biden actually said, we don't know what we'd do if it was a small invasion. I mean, he signaled incredible weakness, especially after that disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. And all along the way, the Biden administration has been slow in providing military support. Make no mistake about this. We promised them 33 Abrams tanks in January. I heard again 2 weeks ago in Ukraine, they still don't have them. We've been telling them we'll train their F-16 pilots, but now they're saying maybe January we'll let somebody transfer some jets.
I'm sorry, Mr. Vice President. I know you're running for president. You are distressed. You are distressed that the Ukrainians don't have enough American tanks. Every city in the United States has become much worse over the past 3 years. Yeah. Drive around. There's not one city that's gotten better in the United States. And it's visible.
Did Tucker Carlson just undermine the Mike Pence campaign even more? Do you remember, those of you old enough to remember, or at least you've read or seen it, when Walter Cronkite went to Vietnam and ended up filing a report saying, we shouldn't be here, we're losing, and LBJ told his advisors, if we have lost Cronkite, we have lost the war. Tucker Carlson might have just stuck the final dagger into Mike Pence if he were ever going to be a good, viable candidate. And Tucker continued pushing.
Our economy has degraded, the suicide rate has jumped, public filth and disorder and crime have exponentially increased, and yet your concern is that the Ukrainians, a country most people can't find on a map, who've received tens of billions of U.S. tax dollars, don't have enough tanks. Right. I think it's a fair question to ask, like, where's the concern for the United States in that?
Well, it's not my concern. Tucker, I've heard that routine from you before, but that's not my concern. I'm running for president of the United States because I think this country's in a lot of trouble. I think Joe Biden has weakened America at home and abroad. And as president of the United States, we're going to restore law and order in our cities. We're going to secure our border. We're going to get this economy moving again. And we're going to make sure that we have men and women on our courts at every level that will stand for the right to life and defend all the God-given liberties enshrined in our Constitution. Anybody that says that we can't be the leader of the free world and solve our problems at home has a pretty small view of the greatest nation on earth. We can do both.
I allowed that soundbite to continue to that point where Pence said we can do both, because I could have stopped it when he said, and Tucker's going on and on about how bad things are in this nation. And Pence's words are, that's not my concern. Very poor statement by him, and it could have been edited and stopped right there. Well, of course, it's his concern. But he's trying to say, that's not my sole concern, is what he should have said. And then, of course, you turn away from the Republicans and what they're trying to fight against. We all are. That includes many Democrats. And they're recognizing how big the fight is. And yet some of them are just moving with the herd. They don't dare get out of the herd because they might be canceled. Tucker Carlson brought that up in an appearance also over the weekend when he said, the Democrats are faking it.
I don't think there is a single member of Congress, except like maybe the dumbest, maybe Ocasio-Cortez or something, but like, but the normal ones, or semi-normal ones, I mean, grading on a curve. I don't think there's a single Democratic member of Congress who cares at all about trans rights. I don't think there's a single one who thinks men can breastfeed, because like not one in history ever has. Quite a bit of evidence to the contrary on that claim. I don't think they believe it. I really don't. And by the way, it's super important to push back against them and to call them crazy, because they are. I'm not saying a retreat from these things at all. I'm merely saying if they throw a story in your face that's so nuts that you can only growl like a dog in response, they're probably doing that on purpose.
Yeah, they probably are. And in fact, coming up, there's a new book that's just out, Tucker. I have the author coming up, Chadwick Moore. Spent a lot of time with Tucker. And in part of it, talking about how Tucker's planned final monologue that he never got to deliver was how AOC demanding his show be pulled off the air for dangerous disinformation. We're going to get into that. You'll want to hear that interview coming up next. Also, the story of how the devil is winning in San Francisco, but God is winning in Hollywood. A lot to cover. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors, USA, Facebook.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. My next guest has a new book just out and available right now for you, simply called Tucker. Chadwick Moore had unprecedented access to Tucker Carlson's professional and personal life over the last year. Hundreds of hours of interviews with Carlson, family, colleagues, acquaintances, even enemies. And it's clear that Tucker is portrayed in this book as a polarizing but yet still loved media figure, one of the biggest of our time. Chadwick Moore, glad to have you on board.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. Great to be here.
Well, before you joined us, I was pointing out something you had noted in the book, that there was an irony of Tucker's planned final monologue. I stated some of it, but I want you to pick up the story.
Sure. I got to see the monologue that he planned to read on air on April 23rd, which was a Monday. It was a Monday that his show was taken off the air. He'd already written the monologue by the time he wrote it that morning. Got a call at 11 a.m. from Fox News President Suzanne Scott, who said it happened to be the six-year anniversary of his show moving into the 8 p.m. time slot. And he thought she was calling to congratulate him. And instead, she said, "We're taking your show off the air. Thank you very much. Goodbye." They've still not given him an official reason why, still to this day as we're speaking.
Just like that, yes.
And at the same time, another Fox executive called his producer, Justin Wells, who was in New York, Tucker was in Florida, told him the same thing. So the coordinated hit job at exactly 11 in the morning that Monday. But his monologue, which I got to see that he was going to read on air that night, had a lot to do with Ray Epps, had a lot to do with January 6th. And it also had to do, in a darkly ironic way, with powerful people in Washington demanding that his show get taken off the air, because just that weekend, AOC had gone on MSNBC to say that Tucker should basically be arrested for misinformation and that his show needs to be taken off the air. Chuck Schumer had said similar things, and he was planning to talk about that on air before his show was pulled.
Did the higher-ups see that monologue that he had already written at that point?
So the way it usually worked is he would send it to his producers, but they never, you know, Tucker said that he never had anyone from management ever looking over his shoulder telling him what he could say or couldn't say. And he was always very grateful for that. So, you know, it would be possible that someone he sent it to could have sent it to a higher up. I don't think so, because they were really close. I don't think there's anyone on his team that wanted to sabotage him. Or maybe it was sent and they didn't know that it was a way to sabotage him. I don't know. So it could have made its way up the ladder, but he didn't, you know, send it to anyone for approval or anything like that. He sent it to his team to say, this is what I want to talk about. You know, let's get some clips, whatever.
Okay, so he's told this. What's the first thing he does after that? Does he call his family or what?
Well, he was completely shocked. He connected with Justin. Justin turned around and got on an airplane and headed straight down to Florida to be with him.
The producer.
The producer, Justin Wells, who's his executive producer. Justin's his right-hand man. He's been with him throughout the whole thing. He's been with him since the start of the show. And I got to spend a lot of time with Justin for the book. He's a really great guy. And so Justin went down to be with him. And Tucker, I got to finally speak to Tucker about 5 days after the show was taken off the air. I got to interview him twice since then, and we updated the book, added new chapters about it and what he said. But at the time, he was, he was deeply confused. But, you know, he said that if you look at his career, as I did in this book, you know, he's been prepared for something like this for a while. You know, he's been let go from CNN, from MSNBC.
Right.
His father worked in television.
Right.
He had a lot of mentors in television who all kind of prepared him for the fact that, you know, basically every job in TV is a temporary job.
the way the river overturns, it does in this business. Well, excuse me, I'm fighting a cold still. But, yeah, originally Tucker gained notoriety by wearing a bow tie, and he kind of stood out, but then he had his show and his comments were so insightful and direct, and he pulled no punches.
Yeah, exactly. And even though I said that he never had anyone telling him what he could or couldn't say, I think in that environment, that corporate environment of News Corp, you're obviously feeling a little constrained in what you can and can't say. I don't think he really self-censored, but I think that's just the nature of the beast. And I think that we're as soon as he's let go from his contract, or maybe even sooner than that, we're going to see, you know, Tucker truly unbound and unleashed.
So were you still writing the book? Had he wrapped it up before he started the Twitter episodes?
We had basically finished. I'd sent my manuscript in March. We were editing. Actually, the day that his show was taken off the air, I had a call scheduled with him because I had five questions, that, you know, kind of housekeeping stuff. Did I get this right? Can you explain this more? And then, of course, the show was taken off the air. So we did push back the publication a little bit. And then, you know, we updated the book to make sure it's current, added two new chapters about what happened. But it wasn't a massive job to do that, because this was a book not about Fox News. It was a book about this man's life and going back not only to his father's childhood, but his ancestors and as far back as we could find history on his family. And
Let me get direct to that. Is it just to puff him up, or did you dig into some things that need to be answered?
Well, I wanted to tell a story about a man who had become, I felt, the most influential voice in American politics. And I wanted to find out who he is, what motivates him, where he came from. And, you know, it took him to task a couple, you know, he made some mistakes in his career. He made some mistakes during COVID. We write about that. We get his reaction to that.
So it's not all just a glowing piece. You're looking at flaws as well.
Well, yeah, of course. I think that, well, we're human beings. We all have things that are great about us, and we all have flaws. You can't tell a story right about a person unless you address all of that.
To that extent, you know, and I look back over broadcasters, you got, you're talking about legends, Paul Harvey, and then you've got Rush Limbaugh. And there are other names you could throw in there that, you know, have different values in different areas. But Harvey didn't really try to get that much into politics, but he was about America, patriotism. Rush obviously was political aim. So was Tucker. Anyone else come to mind that would fit in that category?
Well, Rush is a great comparison. I mean, Rush is obviously a once-in-a-generation talent, and I think people are still feeling that void of him not being on the air. I think Tucker fits right up there with Rush. And, you know, Tucker's, I think where they differ more is Tucker is far more concerned with cultural issues and with spiritual issues, I would even say, especially after getting to know him so well, and less the nitty gritty of politics, but more of what's happening in the national discourse and everyday people's lives. You know, he speaks to the working man as a guy who went to fancy schools and used to wear bow ties and had a fairly nice childhood. He really connects with the working man and this great paradigm shift that's happening in the Republican Party and in politics in general, where, you know, it's those people are more gravitating towards the right, whereas once maybe they were more considered part of the left.
Well, of course, he was big numbers for Fox. That did not necessarily translate into big ratings. To that extent, it was like Rush Limbaugh as well. Big numbers for the stations, but no major network or major company, I say, wanted to endorse him because they never knew when he was going to go off in a direction that might put them in the trigger site.
Right. Yeah. So he had the highest ratings in all of cable news, but, you know, blue chip advertisers were scared to advertise on show. He was obviously the target of a lot of boycotts that left wing groups tried to get advertisers pulled off his show. But what's, I think, become clear, you know, Fox could have used that in their reasoning for taking him off the air, that we could make more money off, you know, Lexus or Pfizer advertising in this time slot. However, I think what's become clear is that he was propping up the entire primetime lineup, that so many viewers have not come back to any of the primetime shows. They might tune in at 7 and stick around till 10 just for that 1 hour of Tucker in the middle. And a lot of those viewers haven't come back. I think I saw recently that Fox's stock has been downgraded since yep. Tucker was taken off the air. So,
I've also seen reports that he's in the process of running, building a fund to create a new network above and beyond Twitter.
Yeah, that's correct. I've been hearing that from sources, and then also now it's recently been reported that's what he's doing. And I believe with Neil Patel, who is his old college roommate, who I also spoke to for the book, with whom he started the Daily Caller several years ago, when he was unemployed and right. had been let go from a cable network.
Now, you know, a couple other things for you. You're listening to Chadwick Moore. The book is titled Tucker, very easy to find. When we go through this and look where we are now, over the weekend, he did interviews at this rally at the Blaze media event. Pence, Vivek Ramaswamy, Nikki Haley, and so forth. Did he undermine or destroy any of those chances for any of those candidates, you think?
Well, I think Mike Pence's political career is absolutely over, and I think Asa Hutchinson's aspirations for the nomination are over.
Are you saying it's over because of Tucker, or that he added to it?
I think that Tucker got them to he asked them the questions that are on every Republican primary voter's mind, and they sort of failed in their responses. I mean, Mike Pence said twice to Tucker when Tucker asked him about America's crumbling cities. Why are we sending money to Ukraine when America right. We have these problems in the cities? And Mike Pence said twice, that's not my concern.
Right.
That was, wow, really shocking. Asa Hutchinson wouldn't back down for his support of children transitioning genders and his medicalization of children who are, I mean, that was also shocking. So, you know, he just held them to Mike Pence, I think, kind of exposed himself. With Asa, he just held him. You know, Asa stood his ground. No, I believe in this. I'm not going to back down. So make what you want of it, voters.
And I dealt with that before you joined us. In the last 30 seconds here, I did point that out, now, how Cronkite, when he came back from Vietnam, his remarks, as LBJ reacted to Vietnam. Why not Trump taking that opportunity to meet with Tucker to do the same thing?
Well, Trump has said that he's not, I don't think that was personally against Tucker, but Trump has said that he's not going to participate in these debates. I don't know if that's the right thing to do or not. I think I'd like to see it personally. But he just said he's not going to participate in these debates. He thinks he's already got the nomination bagged, and maybe he does. But that's probably the reason why, some people have said it was probably a good thing that he didn't show up, because he just proved that the Republican Party platform is him. It's what he agrees with, what the direction he's going, not the Mike Pence direction.
I'm excited to read the entire book, and Chadwick Moore, we thank you for your time. I'd like to do it again.
Thank you so much. I'd love to join you.
You bet. Chadwick Moore is the author of the book, Tucker, available everywhere. Now, coming up, how the devil is winning in San Francisco, but God is winning in Hollywood. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website and see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Roxanne.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. So we were talking about how San Francisco seems to be going the way of the devil. And Hollywood might be going closer to God. Well, we're going to have to break that down in more detail for you. Let me cover some other things first. There's a story that just came across. The Fox News Digital put out a interview piece that they've done with RFK Jr., of course, who's running against Biden without any Democrat support, technically and money-wise so far. And he was asked, apparently, what do you think about the Biden corruption allegations? The answer? It won't be a spear tip to my campaign. See, right there, he might have ruined a lot of opportunities for some Democrats who want someone other than Biden, because they also don't like what's been happening inside the White House and under the Biden administration. But if he's not going to make a big deal of it, and he's just going to kind of say, well, so it goes, I think that could cost whatever opportunity he might have. I could be wrong. I do know the White House is saying, literally, we did everything we could to try to find out what happened about the cocaine. We did everything we could. They never would have told you cocaine was found in the White House if they hadn't called hazmat crew first and a radio broadcast said, we have cocaine. Otherwise, you would have never heard it. It would have been given back to Hunter. Oh, excuse me. To whoever brought it in. Hunter. No, I did it again. Hey, sniff this and get rid of it, will you? And you got something around your nose already. I know. Some of you are saying, Larry, you're really pushing the line. No, there's a pun. I shouldn't have done that one either. Why don't we just all sit around and have a Coke? No, I can't get off of it. Sorry. I get stuck in these ruts from time to time. Fox News is trying to get a new rut started. As we were just talking with Chadwick Moore, the author of the book Tucker, they're realigning starting tonight on Fox News how they're going to be presenting their evening prime time. Here's the way it's going to go. You're going to have Laura Ingraham, Jesse Waters, Greg Gutfeld. They're going to occupy new time slots. Ingraham, who originally was hosting a 10 p.m. show, now does a new version of her show at 7 o'clock. These are all Eastern. Waters will move from 7 to 8 o'clock, taking over where Tucker was. And then taking over for Ingraham at 10 will be Gutfeld. What's in between? What's between 8 o'clock ending and 10 o'clock starting? 9 o'clock, Sean Hannity stays where he is. That's the only stable situation they've got at this point. Abigail Disney. Abigail Disney. You know, as I mentioned earlier, and we heard a cut from Tucker Carlson saying that you can't really believe the Democrats believe half of what they're saying sometimes. Every once in a while, something will surface and say, they really don't buy this stuff. They don't, you know, they know better. They're just trying to pawn it off on you because they think you are stupid. Abigail Disney, who granddaughter of Roy O. Disney, she's a self-described patriotic millionaire, got arrested joining a climate protest at an airport in the Hamptons. Ooh, ritzy area of the Hamptons. She is left-wing, but she added her voice alongside members of New York Communities for Change, Planet Over Profit, Sunrise Movement New York City, and the East End of Long Island. So they blocked the main entrance at the East Hampton Airport. It serves primarily, if you haven't been in and out of there, I can understand why, because normally it's private and charter jets only. For the rich, the powerful, not the underprivileged, just the privileged. If you're on board one of those planes, you're probably there serving tea or coffee. Or Jack, when I'm sitting on the plane. No, I haven't done it either. She said, as a person who's been privileged enough to use private jets, I know it's hard to give up a luxury that is so special. But I also know it's time and past for spewing greenhouse gases for our personal comfort. She was, in fact, at that point, calling out John Kerry, flying around the world in his private jet, talking about how we need to save the world. She stated, as long as the 1%, which would include her, needlessly continues to poison our air and heat our earth, we will continue to escalate our actions against them. She She said, we need corporations to step up on principles, regardless of what the resulting backlash might look like. Stand tall for authenticity, generosity, joy, decency. These things are kryptonite for the right-wing agenda. No, they are not, my dear. We do stand for being authentic, generous, joyful, and decent. We don't all succeed all the time. We are human. We have our frailties. But I mentioned earlier, going to the break for you, that it almost appears the devil has taken over San Francisco, and maybe God is winning in Hollywood. Let me explain it to you. Mark Benioff, possibly is correct pronunciation, is the CEO of Salesforce. He was doing an interview reference to what's happened in downtown San Francisco. The Associated Press has reported that office vacancy rates in San Fran, 24.8% in the first quarter. 24.8%. More than five times higher than pre-pandemic levels. Well above the average rate of 18.5% for the nation's top cities. You don't have to be a math wizard to figure out that's a big difference. So for San Francisco, they're having more empty storefronts, large going out of business signs, big shops like Nordstrom's Rack, Anthropologie leaving. You got toiletries like shampoo and toothpaste locked up at the pharmacies. Places like Gucci being hit by armed robbers in broad daylight. Fewer people going downtown if they don't have to. That means the local economy down there being hit. Cafes, restaurants. Parts of downtown San Francisco trying to relax zoning rules for certain buildings to have mixed-use spaces. And Benioff, the CEO of Salesforce, pardon me, is claiming that downtown San Francisco will not be going back to its pre-pandemic state. Never going to. He said the coronavirus obviously hit us, created the stay-at-home work attitude, created a lot of vacancies, but we're past that. We should be thriving, coming back, but we're not. Why would that be? Because of the things I just listed. Burglaries committed constantly, people assaulted in the streets, the homeless not only sleeping wherever they will, but defecating and urinating wherever. It is not the golden, beautiful city of San Francisco. He went on to point out, San Francisco has become the prime example of what downtown shouldn't look like. I want you to stop and think, wherever you're listening, your downtown area, especially if it's a blue-controlled city or state, should not look like vacant, crime-ridden, in various stages of decay. He said, but in truth, it's just one of many cities across the U.S. whose downtowns are reckoning with a post-pandemic wake-up call. Diversify or die. Now, diversification for some would be, we're going to be an immigration sanctuary area. Come on in, more homeless. That's not going to help your city. We're going to defund police. That's not going to help your city. We're going to basically see major restaurants close and leave because they can't even get clientele to come anymore. That's not going to help. And when I said the devil is taking over San Francisco, I really mean much more than San Francisco. Anywhere you find people that are free to be doing, and as an adult, I don't really care what you do, as long as it's done in a privacy where you're not exposing children and you're not preying upon children. I'll leave that between you and God as to what you do beyond that. But this other stuff, it is basically destroying the very fabric of our society. You don't even have to be religious to recognize how our fabric is fraying and tearing. Now, with that in mind, if it is true that San Francisco and similar cities are becoming the devil's play place, is it possible, and this is, I'm reaching here, I'm going to admit I'm reaching, but is it possible that Hollywood might be moving closer to God? The example I'm going to hold up is one, but it could be the beginning of more. The Sound of Freedom.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
After praying to God for a miracle to happen for this film, Lee sent an angel to rescue this film. Angel Studios rescued this film. And because of that, millions of people are seeing this film in these 10 days. More than 5 million people show up in theaters. And I can't believe that this is happening. This is like, I feel like I'm dreaming. This is the American dream. I'm hugging the American dream right now. It's all glory to God. This is a miracle.
All glory to God. You are listening to Eduardo Verastucchi. He is the producer of The Sound of Freedom, the anti-child trafficking drama. It has hit all the record numbers, blowing everything else out of the water, and it continues. And it was shown on fewer screens than any other major release. And it's building. And it's also putting some people in a very difficult area. Because how can you possibly mock this film when it's talking about saving children from being basically kidnapped, thrown into sex dens, trafficking children? How can you mock it when there are those who are doing it? They also know that this is, as he said, proving that Hollywood is getting a lot of things wrong. They're not interested in a lot of the filth you're throwing at us, that you're putting in front of our children under the guise of being a Disney movie. It's no longer Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, because that might be offensive. It's a basic children's story. So now it's all mixed in with every sexual intertwined binary, non-binary, whatever you want to make of it. That is not what the public wants. But above and beyond what they want when it comes down to what their children see, they want children protected. Once again, The Sound of Freedom.
I close my eyes every day in the morning. What if this is my son? What if my daughter is missing? What would I do? I will stop everything that I'm doing and I will give my life to find my child. Well, that's my motivation. I'm waking up every day to fight for children, to end child trafficking.
Going to fight against it every day, just like we do on this program. I told you from the beginning, our mission is patriotism, America, family, God, obviously, defending the unborn, and protecting our children from predators, from the woke predators. And we're going to do it every day with your help. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.